Welcome back to another podcast of Grateful for Love with Regina. If you have not subscribed to me already, go ahead and do so. Make sure you follow me and share on Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Now let's get started with today's episode. God bless you, beloved, and welcome to Grateful for Love. This is Regina. We're going to be concluding our study of our series, Life by the Spirit, coming from Galatians chapter 5. And our verses for today will be verses 25 and 26. But I want to read the entire episode series of verses, beginning at verse 16. And it reads from the NIV, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." And then for today's episode verses, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So as a recap of all of these verses, beloved, we find out from our study that living by the Spirit and under its control, under its leadership, when we do that, we will not gratify or appease or try to feed, if you will, the desires of the sinful nature. And of course, the sinful nature is what we have all inherited from Adam because of Adam's sin before God. And so the sinful nature is present because of that. However, because of what Christ has done for us by dying on the cross, and remedying, if you will, the sin conflict, where we no longer are under sin or bound by sin, when we accept Christ's work, his finished work for us individually, receiving him as Lord and Savior, then we are no longer under the sinful nature's rule, under its tyranny that has been broken because of what Christ did. Even though there's a conflict because it's still yet there, but it no longer has dominion over us any longer. And we're now led by the Spirit. And then, of course, it goes into all of the various acts of the sinful nature. And we talk about how these were by no means all of the acts of the sinful nature, but they gave us a great enough variety of sorts that we see how far-reaching the sinful nature can be when it wants to dominate and control us. And then in verse 22, it talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how the fruit of the Spirit is a single unit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in as a single unit with all of these wonderful attributes. And I gave the example of a bunch of grapes. And so he comes in with all this variety of his living in and through us by way of bringing us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and how all of these attributes give us, empowering us from Holy Spirit to live a life in a way that will please God. And so we want to understand that He isn't asking us to do anything without His help. He is not asking us to do anything that we cannot do without Him helping us in doing it. Those who belong, it says, to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So we have a willful, intentional act of having crucified this sinful nature. We know that crucifixion always, the cross always represents a death. And so just like Christ took our sins and put them on the cross on the day that He died, so each day do we take up our cross and we follow Him by denying ourselves and denying this sinful nature wanting to raise its head up to control us. We say, no, it will not control us, not because we are so powerful, but because we are great in the Lord who lives in us by His Spirit. And so we are now, it says, going to be, as it says in 25, since that we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we want to be like a dance partner. We want to be in a smooth series of steps. As He moves, we move. When He stands still, we stand still. And so He is leading and directing us every step of the way in our daily lives, each and every day. And then not to provoke, not to envy, not to become conceited. And this is regards to others in the body of Christ, keeping in mind that this book is to believers, written to believers, this new church of Galatia. And the Galatians who were there had come out of all various types of backgrounds, and they had now made a decision to follow Christ. However, we found out that there was some false teaching going around and going on and coming into the church, and they were being told by these false teachers that they needed more than just knowing Christ, that they needed more than just receiving Him as Lord and Savior. They needed to also keep and observe the law of Moses. And they were mainly talking about the law of circumcision. And if you look in the first few verses of chapter 5 in Galatians, you'll find out where it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And this yoke of slavery was referring to all of the laws that we were bound to try and attempt to keep, but we had no way of keeping because we were imperfect. We had that sin nature that was present, and so that sin nature was not going to help us in keeping the laws. In fact, it was all about breaking them. And so it says in verse 2, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. So those who are trying to be justified by the law have in fact alienated themselves from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. And then verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so they were being reminded of these things because they were being lured or pulled away into thinking that I've got to keep the law, this one law. But we found out by Paul saying here in these first few verses that if you were to obligate yourself to keeping one of the laws, then you had to keep all of the law. And we know that that could not be done. We know that no one was able to keep all 613 laws except for one perfect man. And that is the man, Jesus the Christ. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the only one that could do that and that did do that. And so if I were to read these same verses coming from the Amplified, episode verses coming from the Amplified, it reads this way. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. So it's important that we understand that what it says about keeping in step is talking about how we walk, how we conduct our lives, how we behave in our daily activities. That all needs to be controlled by the Spirit as well. And then 26 says, let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. And as I read that, I thought about, you know, how God does not want us to somehow think that we are better than someone else who may be maybe challenged by a particular thing that they have come from or walked away from. That may not be what we're challenged by, but that's what they are challenged by. But we can't get puffed up or proud that that's not our problem because it never bothered us. Because I guarantee that there's something will come up in our lives too that has bothered us. And so my point is neither one of us, none of us is better than the other when it comes to overcoming these challenges that the Holy Spirit will certainly help us with and through. But we have to remember that we're not to look down on anyone else who may be having a problem with their problem, because all of us deal with something. And so we trust Holy Spirit to be able to help all of us to get through those things. And we're not in a competition and we're not trying to be above anyone. We're only trying to follow and be pleasing to God himself who lives in us by his Spirit. Now, I want to look at some cross references, beloved, and I always tell you the cross references I give to you because I want you to see how the Word of God is connected. No one verse stands alone. All of these verses have a common theme, and so these cross references will show us that they, even though they're coming from sometimes different parts of the Bible, that they all have something in common. A common idea or theme, and all point to Messiah. And so the first cross reference is going to line up with our Galatians 5:25 episode verse. And this cross reference comes from chapter 5 and verse 16, which happens to be what the very first verse that we read about in our Life by the Spirit series. And so it says in the NIV, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, this word gratify, if you recall, it had to do with being under control or not appeasing the sinful nature. We're not trying to satisfy the sinful nature. We're not trying to in any way trying to let the sinful nature have its way. We're trying to make sure that in our subjecting ourselves to Holy Spirit, that he is showing us how to be able to keep this sinful nature up under our feet. It's still going to be there, but it no longer has dominance. It no longer has authority to run our lives. It no longer has the power or the oomph, if you will, to tell us what to do, and we fall for it. Why? Because we have invited the Holy Spirit to come in, and now he is in control. He is the authority. He is the one who dominates. And so he is the one who is leading us and guiding us by his Spirit to help us and to please Him in our lives by way of obeying Him. And so this gratifying then is we're not feeding it. We're no longer trying to be guided or controlled by it. Now, let's also turn to for our second cross reference, which will align itself with Galatians 5 and 26. This comes from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. And it reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." Now, I want to include the first two verses in this chapter 2 and then run it into verse 3 for a complete picture, okay? Verse 1 says of this chapter 2 of Philippians, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." So now this verse falls up under the subheading of imitating Christ's humility. Of His humility. And we remember that we defined that word humility a few episodes back, talking about, I think it was in our episode number 4, and it referred to an attitude towards oneself, where we restrain our own power so as to allow room for others. And so, and that's what Christ did. Christ restrained His power. He had all of heaven backing Him, He being God in the flesh. And so there was no power that could withstand Him. But He was humble and He walked in humility and restraining that power in order for others to be able to come and go and even choose to not believe, even choose to be against Him, if that was your choice. And so, and He allowed that because He was walking in humility. And so this verse here says to consider others better than yourselves. And so we find out in these verses how now that we are part of the body of Christ, we're not trying to be separate. We're not trying to be tooting our own horn with a band of one. We are in a body of believers. And so we have, it says to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And that doesn't mean that we all think the same about our own individual lives. But when it comes to the body of Christ and what God has called us to do and to be as a body of Christ, our spirit and purpose has to be the same thing. It has to be Holy Spirit leading and controlling us. And our purpose is to share forth the goodness of God and the love of God to all who don't know. And we start with ourselves in the body. We show that love to each other and therefore can show that love to those outside of the body who don't know who Christ is and the love of Christ for themselves. So I trust, beloved, that you have been helped by these verses thus far. I want to complete the lesson by reading our remaining episode verses coming from the other translations. I first want to read from the Good News translation of this Galatians 5, 25 and 26. And it reads this way, "The Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives." So if He's given us life, if He has given us life and come in to live in us by His Spirit, He being Christ, if Christ has given us His life on the cross to pay for our mistakes, our mishaps, our missteps, our sins, if He's done that, and He has, and He has sent His Spirit to come and live in us to be the companion, to be the guide, the leader, the teacher, and He did that too, then He needs to be followed. He needs to be trusted. He needs to be shown the respect to be under his leadership and to obey his leadership. And 26 says, we must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. And then the Passion says it this way, if the Spirit is the source of life, of our life rather, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So if the Spirit is a source of our life, and He is the one who Jesus sent in His place to not just be with us, but to be in us, to live in us. We must also allow the Spirit in us now to direct every aspect of our lives, each and every day, I might add that. And then 26 says, so may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. So all jealousy that will diminish the value of others, we have to forsake that. We have been made distinctly and uniquely by God. All of us are individuals before Him. The Bible says, in fact, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so He wants us to appreciate that God took the time to make us distinctly like each of us, how you are and how I am, and to appreciate that in others as well. And then from the Message, it reads this way. The Message says, since this is a kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. So this is the life that we have chosen. It wasn't forced. It wasn't, we were held down and made to do it. This was voluntary. And we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've asked Him to come in, allowed Him to come in, to give Him free access, free course in our lives. And so since we've done that, then let's live that way. And that says, that means in 26, we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. So praise God for His word today. I pray that you have been helped by these lessons over the course of several weeks. And I pray and ask Holy Spirit that He would continue to lead and direct us. And as we submit and obey to Him, we will see the value and the freedom we have been given in living a life that's controlled by His Spirit. We are in a partnership with God, and He wants to help us. And He wants us to be all that we were meant to be, all that we were designed to be. Living a full, rewarding life, not only for ourselves, beloved, but to be that beacon of light to a dark, unsaved world. God bless you, beloved. Until next time, shalom, shalom. Remember to subscribe, share, or follow me on Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. Be back next week.